Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In this evening's gospel, we heard Jesus say, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple." Now, what about that great commandment about you shall love your neighbor as yourself? How are we to make the transition from loving neighbor to hating our family? How do we reconcile what we've heard Jesus say this evening with the message of love for neighbor that Jesus proclaimed to us at other times? The context of the preceding chapters of St. Luke, you know, before this text that we have tonight before us, have informed us that Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem in order to offer himself up as a sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. Jesus had said to his disciples, he said, "Let these words sink into your ears. The Son of Man is about to be delivered into the hands of men." And then a short time later, Jesus set his face to go to Jerusalem. Luke has told us that Jesus didn't hurry in his travel toward Jerusalem. Rather, he took his time. He traveled and went a weaving route somewhat through different towns and villages, teaching and preaching along the way. And finally, as we begin this gospel reading tonight, we hear, "Now great crowds accompanied him." Jesus was drawing people to travel with him to Jerusalem, and he was drawing them not just to celebrate the Passover that was coming, but also they wanted to witness as Jesus offered himself up as the Passover lamb who was to take away the sins of the whole world. So in this context, that Jesus not only said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own brother, his own father and mother, and wife and children, and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple." But he also says, "Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." As we review the context of all these, this is a tough gospel to study. You really got to do the context. What's going on in and around what our Lord is saying here? There's no contradictions being placed here. No falsehoods. The truth of the Lord is being spoken. So as we review this context of Jesus' words, we begin to understand that Jesus is warning us about earthly consequences of becoming one of his disciples. He's warning about the hatred that the devil, the world, and even our own sinful nature has against Jesus. Jesus warned that Christians will face incredible pressure to abandon their faith in him. The devil, the world, and our own sinful flesh will muster all their forces to drive us away from faith in Jesus Christ. Society as a whole, members of our own households, even our own thoughts will betray us. Society may threaten physical, legal, and financial destruction. Our families may threaten emotional violence towards us. Our own thoughts may deceive us. So therefore, we must be ready to leave all of that behind. Jesus taught, "Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." So with these words, Jesus taught that Christians will have enemies. And those enemies will attack us. They will cause many hardships for the Christian. There's been a steady stream of blood from Christians the centuries? The writer to the Hebrews states that many suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. At one time, it was illegal in the known world to be a Christian. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were killed with a sword, they went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. So you may lose all of your earthly belongings just to follow Jesus Christ. Now, the world has produced many false teachers who insist that the wealth of this world will pour out on those whose faith is strong enough. Or if you just think positive thoughts. These false teachers claim to be Christians, but they teach you to have faith in your own faith, to believe in your own positive thoughts, to take control of your own salvation, and by your own outlook on life. They cleverly claim to teach faith in Christ, but what they're actually teaching you is to have faith in yourself. After all, aren't they themselves some very wealthy folks? I mean, just how many personal jets does one person need? So it is these false prophets that the Lord will one day say, "Fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." I didn't say it, but I preached and conducted a funeral earlier this morning. And I was so tempted to use the often used phrase I like. You know, I've never been to a funeral where there's a U-Haul trailer hooked up to the hearse. You can't take it with you. So what is Jesus telling us tonight in this gospel? He's saying that the world hates the children of God. He's saying that the world will use all of its resources against us, even our own families, and even our own desire to survive. Jesus is telling us that his disciples must be ready to cut off ties to father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters rather than be unfaithful to him. He's telling us that we must be ready to lose our lives rather than to be unfaithful to him. Can you do that? I can't. I simply don't have the resources to conform to Jesus' teaching in this gospel reading tonight. In fact, the parables that Jesus tells after these statements tell us that we don't even have the resources to carry them out. Our attempt to surrender all in order to be faithful is like a man who starts a building, but he can't finish it. He doesn't have the money. Or it's like the leader of a country with only 10,000 men in his army, and he's going up against another king who has 20,000 in his army. The world will overwhelm us if we try to carry our cross in our own power. We do not have the power in ourselves to deny our family and to follow Christ. Guilt. So we can't do it alone. But fortunately, we're not alone. The Holy Spirit inspired the writer to the book of Hebrews to say, "We do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Jesus is our high priest, who has experienced the very same attacks that you and I do, and he has triumphed over them. Did the world use Jesus' family to attack him? Yes, they did. Listen to the words of the Holy Spirit inspired Mark to write in his gospel. Then Jesus went home, and the crowd gathered him so that they could not even eat. And when his family heard it, they went out to seize him, for they were saying, "He's out of his mind." That's what his family told. Later on, Jesus said, "Here are my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother." You ever watch a bunch of pastors get together and say, "That's my brother"? You know, we're brothers in the cloth. You are my brothers and my sisters. And Jesus says the same thing about all of us. So Jesus himself had to deny his own family in order to remain faithful to his Father. And Jesus was also faithful to the cross. His cross was not just a metaphor, but the real thing. His death was not just persecution for being faithful. His death was the sacrifice that made you and I part of God's family. You see, when Jesus endured his cross, he was making sure that there was one cross we would never have to endure. The cross of punishment that we earn with our own sin. Jesus Christ endured that cross for our sin so that we don't have to. He took all of our sin onto himself, and he paid the debt for those sins. By his faithful suffering and death upon the cross, he triumphed over sin, death, and the power of the devil. In his triumph, he rose from the dead and ascended into heaven. Jesus offers his triumph to all people through the Holy Spirit's gift of faith. By faith, we receive adoption into God's family. He promises us that we shall always be together. Before Jesus ascended into heaven, he said, "Behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." He also said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." His triumph means that he is always by our side. He will always be with us while we live here on this earth. And when our time is over, we shall live with him forever. Here's an interesting observation for you, okay? Have you ever reviewed the promises that you made when you were confirmed here in the Lutheran Church? The church asks you to make promises that you cannot keep. Do you intend to hear the word of God and receive the Lord's Supper faithfully? Do you intend to live according to the word of God and in faith, word, and deed to remain true to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, even to death? Do you intend to continue steadfast in this confession in church and to suffer all, even death, rather than fall away from it? Those are the questions you were asked. A simple "I do" will not be sufficient as a response to those sort of questions, because no ordinary human being can live up to that answer. Instead, we answer, "I do by the grace of God." For it's only by the grace of God that we can even be faithful to God, even if the world threatens death of our family and friends, and even though those same people ridicule us for our faith. So by the grace of God, the Holy Spirit will keep our faith strong. It is by the grace of God and his promise that God will be with us here in time and we will be with him there forever in eternity. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human